Debbie, you want to start with a prayer?
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you came to this earth, Lord Jesus. Left the splendor of heaven to come for us, Lord. Gave up your life for us that we might live in you. Father, we just thank you for this class, for this church, for the body of Christ. We're just grateful, Lord. Lord, we lift you up. We lift you on high. And we praise your name forever. Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.
Before we get started, for some reason, Mike and I went to this little thrift shop up at Audubon last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And we found this book on the shelf from like the 1960s. And it said, the name of the book was, What If Grace Were True?
That's good.
And it was laid out.
Wow. Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like God has people all over the place.
I'd like to see it.
Who wrote it?
Two guys from Indiana.
Two guys are Quaker ministers.
Quaker pastors.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Does anybody have King James anymore? Normally, I never like to turn on King James. If you could read.
I always have King James.
Okay. I don't have to
vote for really good.
That much. The rest of you are
fine. Yeah, that's right.
I need it when I do the word study. I need King James, but that's the only time I use it. Okay, so if someone could read very loudly out of King James, let's just go ahead. We're going to start with verse 14, but if someone could read 12, 13, 14, and 15, just to set the stage.
Psalm 92.
Yes, ma'am.
13, 14, and 15. Those that be planted.
Well, start with 12.
12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They that be fat and flourishing.
That's why I wanted to get the King James.
Yeah. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
The Amplified says they'll be full of sap.
Don't be sad.
Okay, so we've done through verse 12 and 13. So we're going to go to verse 14. And so read verse 14 one more time, and Tyler's going to turn on the TV here.
Okay.
You have it, Oscar?
Oh, sure.
No, verse 14.
Just read. No, turn the TV on.
To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Okay, so, interesting, huh? They shall bring forth fruit in old age. Isn't that good?
I love that.
That's good news. They shall be fat and flourishing. Well, we're going to have a little fun here. We've got some old jokes here we're going to talk about. But even before I do that, I'm going to show you a good example of what fat and flourishing in old age is.
Thanks.
There you go. That's
He said,
who's that skinny guy up front there? Anyway, I thought I had to dig that out. I mean, gray hair, flat and fat and flourishing and all that. That's probably 2005, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Anyway.
The skinniest guy's hiding in the back.
Oh, he's not skinny, let me tell you. He wishes he was. Okay, so let's go back to...
My front's real short.
Okay. An archaeologist is the best husband a woman can have. The older she gets, the more interested he is in her. That's Agatha Christie. Phyllis Diller said, I'm at an age when my back goes out more than I do. And George Burns says, He's so old that when he orders a 3-minute egg, they ask for the money up front. It's interesting in the expanded version, verse 14 says, and I love this. This is my favorite of all the translations I looked at. Growing in grace, they will still thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. They will flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust and love and contentment. Wow. That's everything right there. It's all in one verse there, what we're seeking and what he's given us. It's ours. We just need to be growing in grace. We're understanding the grace of God and how he's basically done it all, and we just have to grow into it. Just like the old, you use the example of the Wonder Bread. You know, that bread isn't any different whether the kid's little or the kid's medium size or it's a grown adult. So I'm going to read that again. Growing in grace, they will still thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. They will flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust and love and contentment. Okay. That word fat means to be fat, grow fat, become fat, become prosperous, anoint. And this is really interesting, and I got off on one of my goddamn tangents here, and that is to take away ashes from the altar. We're going to talk about that just for a second. In Numbers 4, verse 13, it says, "And they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth therein, and they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers and the flesh hooks and the shovels and the basins, all of the vessels of the altar, and they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skin and put it to the staves of it." I put that last part in just to add, get the picture. We're going to focus on verse 13. One of the jobs of the priests in the Old Testament was to never let the flame on the altar go out. I was a kid when President Kennedy was assassinated, and some of you have been to Arlington Cemetery, and there's his tombstone, and then there's a flame that never goes out.
They call it the
eternal flame.
Eternal flame. Where do you think they got that idea? So that was the priest's job, was to make sure that flame never, never, never went out. Because the flame represented the presence of God. They didn't have coal back then, they used wood. And since the altar flame burned day in and day out, night in and night out, the priest on a daily basis would have to go to the altar and scrape the ashes off. Because if they left them there, the ashes were subject to put the fire out and bring down punishment or judgment from God on them and the entire camp. Aren't we glad that we're under grace? I mean, jeez. And then the priest would redress the altar with purple cloth. This is, what I read. I said, we can't let our flame go out. And that flame is a flame of hope, of faith, of love, of grace to others and whatever. We've got to keep that flame going constantly. Take away the ashes from your altar this morning. What does that mean? I just said, take out the garbage. If we get garbage, take it to the curb, just like you do at home. Get rid of the garbage. Take out the garbage that weighs you down. Cast all your cares on him. Don't hold back certain cares. Some cares we go, I'm going to hang on to that one. Well, don't. Don't. Get free of all that. We just talked about this grace. grace. I mean, he takes it all. He will take your baggage that you're carrying around. And this is just something I don't know if I'm seeing things or what, but I was going to ask the Lord, what about this purple cloth? Put the purple cloth over it to remind yourself that you're a part of a royal priesthood. Don't focus on your shortcomings, focus on him. So, you know, I just thought it was interesting that the definition of fat brought us all the way into the altar and brought us into the thing of cleaning off the ashes in our life. Ashes of anything that needs to be burned up, that, you know, hopefully is burned up.
Yeah, there's a scripture somewhere that says, I will give you beauty for ashes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he will. That's part of his grace. I mean, you can't get any better than to have the beauty for all your garbage, all your junk.
Isaiah 61.
Huh?
It's Isaiah 61.
Yeah.
I think the ashes are those things that we go through, you know, our mistakes and mm-hmm. so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But we learn through them. And I think that's what the Lord is saying. You know, I'll give you beauty for ashes. Out of those ashes, out of those trials, those tribulations, like Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, messengers of Satan would buff and rack and harass me. In one translation, he says, but I thank, I almost fall in my chair when I read this this week. He says, but I thank God for the gift that he gave me. And he was talking about the messenger of Satan. Mm-hmm. He said, I thank God for the gift. Because he said, every time he racked and harassed and buffeted me, it brought me to my knees. Mm-hmm. And when you're on your knees, Paul said, it's very difficult to be high and lifted up.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good translation of that. It was given unto me a gift.
Well, that's like in James with J.B. Phillips. Don't look upon these trials and tribulations as intruders.
Yeah.
Welcome them as friends. It's the same. It's a mindset of grace. That if you get that mindset of grace, then you'll see God in all things. You'll see, well, you won't be going, well, Lord, why is this happening to me? No, you'll go, Lord,
wow.
Okay. What are we going to learn from this, Lord? What do you want me to gain from this? How do I approach this? How do I get through this? You know, I need you. I can't do this on my own. It's all you, and I'll get out of your way. You take care of it all.
If life is exactly as God ordains it for me this day, then what am I saying if I say, gee, I wish life weren't like
exactly.
You're going against
God. You're going against His will.
Yes. And what do we want?
His
will for our life.
And He works all things out after the counsel of His will, not your will. Mm-hmm. All things out.
What a beautiful way to live.
Yeah. Well, it just, that's where that unspeakable peace comes. Mm-hmm. Because you're just
joy unspeakable.
Yeah.
And full of glory.
Yeah, that's where all that comes, because you're just saying, Lord, I don't care what comes down the pike, you've ordained it, you've allowed it, and, you know, yeah, we do some things that, stupid things that cause us some problems or whatever, but, you know, that's all part of it, too.
You know,
no, go ahead.
No, Julie.
Yeah, I was just going to say it keeps us from, because I've done this, I'm trying to get better. If I didn't do this, if I didn't say that, if I would have been there at this time, and if I would have done this different, then I wouldn't be in this boat today. I mean, everybody does that. And if you follow this, you're less likely to live your life like that, because mm-hmm. you beat yourself up, you know, for the things you did instead of moving forward.
Yeah,
and you can't control the outcome of things based on the stuff you do.
And everything has a plan and purpose.
Right.
Yeah, Julie and I, when we're not thinking, we'll go, I wish we would have met earlier. But you know what? That wasn't the plan.
Right.
That, if we would have met earlier in life, maybe we wouldn't have liked each other. She definitely wouldn't have liked me.
You're different now.
What were the trials and tribulations, bad, good, or indifferent, make you who you are today? And you wouldn't be the great person you are if you hadn't gone through that and made bad mistakes, because we all do.
Yeah, it sounds like we're talking about eating from the tree of life instead of the tree of knowledge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the King James says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Mm-hmm. And the Message Bible, that same verse, Matthew 5:8, which is, I was going to read the quote this morning, but the King James says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Mm-hmm. And the Message Bible says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind, your heart, and your spirit put mm-hmm. right. Then you can see God in the outside world. Mm-hmm. In other words, let be ruled from the inside out mm-hmm. instead of the outside circumstances in. And if you can line up your spirit with your mind, he says, then your inside world will be fine, and then you'll be able to see God through the outside world, mm-hmm. what he's doing in the outside world, mm-hmm. the circumstances, the dilemmas of our life, the suffering, if you will, whatever. But that, I thought that was a beautiful way the Message put it. Mm-hmm. You get lined up inside. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Mm-hmm. If you get that spirit lined up with your mind, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you start seeing God in the outside and the inside and the outside. Mm-hmm. What his plan and his purposes are in everything that you're going through. Mm-hmm. And then it brings peace and joy, really.
Well, you know, with the, in this whole thing, Jim reminds me of when you spoke at our wedding about, like, you were like, the baggage you carry around, and you like said the suitcase, you know, the all your old baggage, you need to like let it go because you're starting new. I mean, that that's always stuck with me. That's really good because that analogy you used, you're carrying around suitcases of all your old baggage, and you let go of it.
Get rid of the ashes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get them off the altar. Where's the altar? Mm-hmm. In here. That's the altar. Yeah, that's good. I mean,
and then what did you
have to go, really.
What did you tell me yesterday when we were driving? If you keep your eyes on him, you won't trip over yourself. What did you say?
Yeah, Psalms 25 in the Message says, you know, keep your eyes on the Lord. So that I'm going to keep my eyes on you, Lord, so I don't trip over my own feet.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I told you is, get in the lane. Slow down.
That's when I thought I was the only one.
And then he could see again after 3 days.
There you go. Well, you know what? I forgot one thing, and this is for Jim. Jim, this is for you. So this, we talked about the old thing, so I wanted you all to read this. This is kind of funny. Mm-hmm.
Instead of
the John, I call my bathroom the gym. Huh? That way it sounds better when I say, I go to the gym first thing every morning.
Okay.
There you go. Going to the gym. All right. So, any other ideas? This is, I think, a pretty broad. I mean, what do you see as the ashes that you remove? And any other I just looked at purple and I thought of royalty, and mm-hmm. it was like, okay, let's. God doesn't want us keep discussing our ashes and our failures and our things that, you know, need to be burned up. So he nicely allows us to put that purple cloth over them. And again, that's just my interpretation. You all may have some different interpretations, but it was just as a reminder, don't look at the ashes and look at the royal priesthood that you've become and that you are. And that should at least make you realize that, yeah, you know, we fall short, and we'll continue to fall short from time to time, but we'll just put that purple cloth over it. Whatever it is, we're going to put the purple cloth over it and be reminded that, you know what? I don't care what I think I am or someone else thinks I am. I care what God thinks mm-hmm. I am. And he thinks I'm peculiar, yeah, mm-hmm. but a royal priest and a special person and unique, especially to him. You know, no one's the same. Yeah.
Psalm 37 says, verse 23, the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. He delights in his way. And in the King James, it says the steps of a good man, but that's italicized.
Yep.
So good isn't really in there. The steps of a man are ordered of the Lord, are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth his hand, it says, but And it said, I had been young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. So, you know, basically it's saying there that even though you fall at times, God still upholds you by his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he will, you know, he will take care of you. He's mm-hmm. not seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging mm-hmm. bread. He is your source. He'll yes. take care of you. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, go ahead. Ladies first.
Oh, thank you. talking about ashes as, you know, baggage that has happened, it's also, to me, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I've got a story. I was driving through you guys' neighborhood, Oscar, one day, and I've been stopped by the cops back there before because it's a, you know, open road. It's 25 miles an hour, and I was headed to church to do something. We were under time crunch, and I was going faster than I needed to, and I got pulled over. And immediately comes that, oh, my gosh, I've done it again, you know, and I should have known better, and what was I thinking? And it just came to me, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and it's like, you put me here, Lord, so let's go with it, you know. And when the cop came up to my car, I can't remember if he went back to the cruiser or what. He goes, I'm going to give you a warning, you know. And Clyde was waiting for me at church. And it's like, I was so like, yes, officer, I was going too fast. I know I was. But he let me go. And it's like, when I gave into this is the day that the Lord hath made, that stress and everything.
His grace came through.
That's right. Yep.
I want to protest. I got a ticket coming down through there, and he didn't give me no bar.
he looked at your
license plate. I was of the wrong gender. Women have
them.
I hate to tell you that I got off the first time, too.
I was coming back from a funeral, and I even told him, I said, I was coming back from a funeral, and I didn't have my foot on the brake. That's a targeted area, by the way. So if you ever come through there, they target that area. And I knew that, but me and Margaret were talking about the funeral. We'd been up to Stan's brother's funeral. And I didn't have my foot on the brake, and I was just coasting. And I was going, I think I was going 32 miles an hour or something like that. And it's 25 there, but it's a targeted area. They, if you go anything over 25, they will give you a ticket.
I'm not coming to your house.
I mean, they're outside and telling you when you come down through their targeted area. Yeah, it says it, targeted area. That's what it says, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, but I, you know, like I say, I drive them down there all the time. But I just, we were talking, I didn't have my foot on the brake.
They used to call those speed traps.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that is. I think somebody belongs on a city council or somebody lives up through there because they got it targeted. And even Lindsay's told me, she said, that area over there where you live, she said, they write more tickets over there. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, I've contributed to that.
That's how they pay all their
Well, I think people complain because there's a lot of kids, but there's a deaf child back there
yeah.
who can't hear. And
that's
I'll,
actually down farther
yeah.
before it gets to the targeted area.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sign that says deaf child.
Yeah.
And that kid, I don't think he even lives there anymore, but they stuffed the sign up.
That's our house.
Yeah.
The person's no longer there, but they've never taken the sign down.
Yeah. But it's so if you ever come up Seward Road and it turns into Vintage,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people go through there to get up into Liberty Township, drive the speed limit. Because
yeah.
if you don't... They're like, you just never know when they're going to be there. You
Good
know,
morning.
There.
Okay, John 19:5. Anybody else have anything on the purple? I wanted to just get this scripture because it's so appropriate for the time and season we're in or whatever. It says, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Mm-hmm. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And this is, I'd never seen this slash mm-hmm. part before, Behold the man. But anyway, let's do purple first. Do you have any idea how they got that dye of purple back in the way back in the days long ago. Do you know how they got the color purple?
I imagine it had something to do with blood.
Well, they call it the purple fish, but it's really a mussel. Yeah, it's a mussel that they extracted that color. It's like a shellfish that they extracted that color from. But, you know, I mean, from the time we were little kids, don't we associate purple with royalty?
It is a royal color.
Huh? It is the royal color. Yeah. So we associate purple with royalty. So that's why they put a purple robe on Jesus, because he was considered the king of the Jews, and they were mocking him. Oh, here's the king of the Jews, you know, and it was nothing but a mock and trying to make fun of him and harass him, along with the physical assaults that he took. He had insults to go with it. But that word purple is just a species of shellfish or mussel. Okay, I wanted to get to the word man. Pilate said unto them, behold the man. Okay, and even in the King James, there's an exclamation point, so it's like, behold the man, okay. The definition has two different ways to look at this. One is a human being with the adjunct notion of contempt or disdain and pity, which is the way Pilate was talking. You know, Pilate had no idea at the time when he was saying, behold the man. He had no idea what he was saying. I mean, he had no clue. He thought he was just doing mocking like everybody else with disdain and, you know, contempt. But the root word of this word man is to look at and behold. So those that knew Jesus was the Son of God and the Son of Man, they were beholding God. They were beholding the Son of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And so he was, you know, they were looking, and we look at him from the time we were kids. When it comes to Easter, we always look at Jesus as the Son of God incarnate. So anyway, I just thought that would be interesting.
And then amplified.
Yeah.
He has a footnote in there. Bible says, and was explaining why it said, here is the man. And it's stating here that kept alive because of what he is, the spotless Son of God, not what the speaker may have thought.
Yeah, what? There you go. There were two meanings going on at the same time. And Pilate just didn't have a clue who he was really talking about. And that's now.
In the Gospel of John, where Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer, and he said, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. The word one there, if you look it up, it has the numerical meaning of one, but it also means abundantly man. And he was the abundant man. He was God totally in the image and likeness of man.
Yeah. And the name man, what was it in Greek? It was what's the study of man?
Anthropos.
That's what it is, yeah. So the Greek word is anthropos, not ish or not Adam, it's anthropos, which they get the word anthropology from. So I thought that was interesting. Anybody else on anything on that verse or purple or boy, our Lord went through some stuff, didn't he? I mean, we have no reason to complain, do we?
in the natural, how you get purple is you take red and blue and you combine them together. And we know that his blood was red and blue is the sky. So, it, you know, his blood was shed for this world, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, you know, he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. You know?
I'm not going to go there, but I put it in here. Exodus 27 talked about what we were talking about with the ashes and all that. But if you want to read it yourself, it's 27, 1 through, and you can just go on down to 1 through 3 or 4, whatever. But it's very similar to what we were going into with number here. I think we're at numbers 5. Okay. Anything else on 14? We're going to go to 15, which we're almost finished. 15 says, they are living memorials to declare that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Boy, doesn't that about speak for itself, huh? I mean, really. Any comments on that? Because there was nothing I could add to that. That was like, that had it all. Any other comments on that? Any comments at all on 92? Because that's it. We're finished with 92. Anybody have any comments? Nobody?
I love any verse in the Bible that speaks of he is my rock, he is my fortress. If people walking the earth, there's nothing we need more than a rock and a fortress and a hiding place and a tower where we can go and just dwell with him and find peace.
Mm-hmm. One comment about the rock, what Kevin was saying, you know that old gospel song, if I could, I surely would stand on that rock where Moses stood, you know. And if you go back into the Old Testament, Moses didn't stand on the rock. He sat on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
So he rested in the rock.
Sorry.
That's not the
one. I know. Keep talking.
You know, we were talking about trees, and I was looking at different trees, and we didn't discuss these certain trees, but I looked up the willow tree and chestnut tree, because they were two, and it was interesting, because it said the chestnuts were used for medicine, for food and furniture, and that it was hardy and nut-bearing. It was showing how hardy it is, and that when the chestnut tree, that the Asian, they came over the chestnut, and that it had blight that was killing, and they had to do, it was a back crossing, and they did it, it introduced this blight, and they did an inner crossing with the American tree and with that one, that actually killed and destroyed the blight. But I was looking at the inner crossing that they did, you know, thinking about how that we are so, you know, intercrossed with Christ, that, you know, and how he's transforming, you know, us. And then when I was looking up about, and we are a tree, you know, the same are trees, I was looking at the willow tree, and it produces, I didn't know this, a nectar for the bees, and that it is metabolized in your body, and it's coming as salicylic acid, and it also was used for fishing nets, the willow tree. It was just interesting looking at these trees. I know we didn't discuss it, but I was just looking at it, and it says that it also that it, in Ukraine, that is their national tree, but it can be cooked and ate. The catkins make like a mash, and could be cooked, and it also can produce like charcoal. And I was just interested in looking at the things, and I was looking at us and looking at it spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
broadly existence, and it is a start, this back crossing, you know, with this being us and being so trans, you know, cross, engrafted in Christ, you know.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else on 92? Sorry it took so long. I don't know how many years are in 92. It's probably, say, 8, 10.
It's as bad as what we learned. How about so good?
Well, 93, I'm telling you. I studied in the 93, and it's like the last verse of 92. It really speaks for itself. There's a few things, but I wanted to, first of all, start with 93 and read it in the expanded Bible, because I thought it was one of the best. Starts off with the majesty of the Lord. The Lord is king. He is clothed, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is clothed, robed in majesty, and armed, girded with strength. The world is set, established, and it cannot be moved. Lord, your kingdom, your throne was set up, established long ago. You are everlasting. Lord, the seas, the rivers, perhaps referring to currents within the sea, raise the seas, raise their voice. The seas raise up their pounding waves, representing chaos. The sound of the water is loud. The ocean waves, breakers of the sea, are powerful and majestic. But the Lord above is much greater, more powerful, more majestic. God is in control of chaos. Lord, your laws, decrees, testimonies will stand forever, are very faithful and true. Your temple will be holy forever. At your house, holiness is fitting, appropriate, and will be for length of days. God is God. And I'm telling you. Anyway, I wanted to just, since we have this new technology, I wanted to go ahead and... Pretty powerful, isn't it? So you heard the, we read it out of the expanded, you saw this, so you get some imagery there, and just a different way of saying it. How did this psalm speak to you? What's it saying to you? What are you getting out of it? What do you like about it? Was there any specific thing that jumped off the page that said, wow?
Yeah, I think we are, the waves are the people, the water's the people, the waves are the people.
Speaking loudly, aren't they?
Yeah, lifting up word to God, and God's solid, can't be moved, and we're always trying to reach to be like Him.
Yeah, it's interesting. The world cannot be moved when you sit there and you think, all you hear from some Christians is the world's going to end. Well, that part of the world is going to end. But it's so cool that, so many people quit that don't know God, not initially, but they'll question God. Mm-hmm. You know, God doesn't have a plan B. He has one plan, and that's it, and He is working that plan out. Even though it looks like chaos out there, and it is chaos, just like the expanded version said, He's even in control of the chaos.
Even the wrath a man should praise Him. That's in Scripture.
It's funny, we're having this conversation this morning. It's like, it's just sad that the people that don't know Him, I said, well, that's our job to get it out there. And I said, He goes, it's just amazing how many people there are that are not saved. We're just having a little bit of conversation during coffee. And it's so funny because I was thinking, well, when we're kids or when we're growing up and we're thinking, my goodness, I'm, being poor and not woes me so much, but it's like there's got to be something better out there, especially the way that at least I grew up in California and then I didn't have guidance from my parents, or I didn't feel like there was, there has to be something more. And then when I finally was saved, I'm like, I knew you were out there. I knew there was something, It just, unfortunately, it took me a lot of bad decisions and choices and thinking, man, there's got to be something better. And how can we just live and die when you think that there's so many atheists or whatever they are, and they think, oh my goodness, and just think, thank you, Lord, that we do have someone who has already paid that price. And it was just a kind of a peaceful thing this morning. It's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for
what's interesting, He is the Savior of the world, so they are saved. They just
don't know it yet.
No, acknowledge it yet. Just like you, before you actually acknowledged Him as your Lord and Savior, his love for you was the same.
Right. Well, we were watching this movie last night too. It's like a little B-rated, but it was a good Christian, and it was talking about a cafe where there's three lost people that are in, and they go to this cafe, and everybody's like, there's no cafe there. And they meet Jesus, and they give them their last chance to basically say, hey, you choose me, this is your last chance, and some of them accept. And it was just really, you could tell it was definitely B-rated, but it was still got to the point that, one gentleman, he thought that, I didn't need you, and I didn't, you were not there for me when I was a child, until you completely rejected him, and he didn't want to get rid of his money, and so he ended up taking off, and he ended up actually dying. So it was just a very good movie. So it's amazing.
Isn't it interesting how God's shaking things up right now? the Pope came out this week saying there's no hell.
Wow.
He came out saying there's no hell. Those lost souls will just disintegrate. Now, that's the Lord shaking things up, and, every religion, everything out there does have some element of truth in it. If you look hard enough, you'll find something there that has a truth to it. Maybe it's only one little speck, but to have Him come out, and Julie was talking about when she was at Catholic school as a grade school, that they were pictures of Dante's Inferno, his depiction of hell, which is totally, you know, the way we believe here, totally way off base. But to take little kids and say, okay, now if you're not a good kid, this is where you're going to go. I mean, wow. I mean, that's just, but everybody's up in arms about it. I kind of liked hearing that the Pope said that. I mean, just because God's shaking it up, you know.
Yeah,
just,
but
to me, it was.
He danced around it the next day.
Oh, I know he did, but he said it.
you can't take
those words back, you know.
Don't be surprised if he doesn't have a sudden death. The religious leader over there might just
have a heart attack.
Yeah, all of a sudden something he drinks just isn't quite right.
I thought that it was interesting that said the souls just disintegrate. And then I got to thinking, you know, in light of how I believe, that the soul is the emotion and the will. And
it is disintegrating.
And the rage, the resentment, the emotion, those things will disintegrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will disintegrate.
We want those to go. We want to get out of our mind.
And even the Bible does say some you can lose your soul. But that's fine with me. The spirit, we have bodies, we have a soul, and we are a spirit.
Well, if we have the mind of Christ, something's got to go that was there before, our thought process or whatever, parts of what the soul is.
I was very content just to sit back and see, okay, now let's just watch and see what happens next.
Don't you think, I was thinking when she was saying about all the questions that she had, because a friend of mine, we were teenagers before we got saved, that these questions are really, they don't come, that God stirs this up in us, that have questions. What is this all there is left? I remember we were teenagers and we would be on the phone almost all night with all kind of questions and all, and she got saved out of California. And she called me and she said, remember how we were wondering what the answer and what she said, well, I found it.
No.
She got saved and she witnessed to me and I came back from California and I was 24 and I got saved. She witnessed to me and then I saw at the Waters on the Mike Douglas show and she gave her testimony. And many things that she said, my friend had said to me, and she sang that song, His Eyes on the Spirit of Life. And from there on, he had been going all this time, God is doing all the work, and he's speaking to you, and you're seeing all these questions, it has to be more, but you know it's only him that has created this, and is stirring this in you.
More of him. Anybody else? I don't know what the Lord's going to do with Psalms 93. We may be done with it, but we'll see what happens. And so we may be in 93 or we may be in 94 next week. So, 93 is
the literal sense of verse 4 establishes his province over the entire universe. Verse 2, God establishes in my mind his power over the creation of earth. Okay? And then the next 2 establishes his power over the oceans, which we relate to people. Okay? So it's kind of interesting when you stand back and look at it. And then there's this part where, when you read the testimony part, okay? establishes his authoritative revelation to truth, okay? And I stand back and look at this and go, man, there are so many people out there that when they hear truth, they think it's hate. Okay? Because they hate the truth so much. And I there are people that I talk to on a daily basis, and I'm like, wow, you know, and you were talking earlier about the fact that I wish I'd said something, I didn't say something, or I would have said, you know, when we talked about the ashes, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that will not talk to me, okay, because they know they're going to get the truth, all right? And they'll call me when they absolutely have to, okay? You know, my son's one of them, okay? I love him dearly. But I'm not going to, you know, I have to speak truth. I have to remind myself to speak truth lovingly, okay? And tell him consistently through that process, son, I love you. I love you so much. But you need to understand, okay? There's a truth in this that you need to see. And then he won't call me for a week.
But we believe he's seeing it. He's just rebelling maybe.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I see myself years ago. It's me. In my head.
I'm sure you know the parable of the prodigal son.
Yep. Thank God. That's all I can say.
Then do you want to pray?
Father God, again, we come before you. And we just cry out. Grace and mercy. And understanding. Who is the truth. Just amazing. And Father, we just thank you for these moments, this time. Thank you, Father, for this. This is your battle.
Yes.
This is not our battle. Father, we just pray that there's revelation here today that we take with us. That you spoke to each individual person. So, Father,